just recently I got a course, and one of the first courses I've ever purchased. And the only way that you could really access that course was by going through a desktop. And I had to try and remember a login that was issued to me, and I couldn't find a way to change it, whatever. And it just made the whole experience of completing this course from a famous marketer difficult. It wasn't easy. And therefore, if they're trying to help me get to that result, whatever it was, you know, putting barriers in front of me. So I could only imagine how much easier they could do and deliver on their result if they made that experience easier. And an app does that. It can make things like your Silver Circle app so that people don't ever have to log in again.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome back to superfastbusiness.com. This is episode 611. If you like anything we talk about today, you can look that up at superfastbusiness.com. Today is the first Tech Talk series podcast episode with a guest who's been here several times before. Welcome back, Jared Robinson.
Thanks for having me, James. I was just trying to think, is this like maybe number four or third?
There's quite a few episodes with you, but this time we're dedicating the discussion to tech talk. And because in my life, you're the person I go to find out about technology. You are what I call affectionately my tech sniffer.
Yeah.
You're like the canary in the coal mine. You get down there and you can find technology and sniff it out before everyone else is talking about it. You are literally years ahead of the curve, and you often tell me about stuff. You've been my eyes and ears with tech. Hey, check this out. Check that out. And, you know, it's a remarkable skill. And, you know, I've got pretty deep filters. It takes a while for me sometimes to get using a thing. I might say, no, that's not for me. I don't really need an app to save up my tips. Or you found a really, really good app, which has subsequently been replaced by the iPhone software itself. And that was the app that tracks what you're doing on your phone. But, of course, that's standard now. But you were able to do that before they made it generally available. So for that, I'm grateful. So what I'm hoping with this series is we can come and talk about technology, because if you're in an online business, we need to know about technology. Just for my own example, I've had about 7 or 8 apps now. I know you've had hundreds. The thing is, I'm not in the business of apps generally. I'm in the business of coaching and having a membership advisory, as you are too. And we should just have a little bit of a history there. You and I met probably about 3 years ago. You set up your membership in full strength back then. How's things going now?
Yeah, well, it's crazy to think 3 years ago, I didn't have a membership. Now I do. And it's pretty much the only thing we sell, as per your advice. And it's going along super strong, 1,200 members and about 2-3% churn. And a big part of that is because of, you know, some of the tools that we use, namely mobile apps to keep people engaged and keep people coming back in. And, you know, that's what frames all of this tech sniffing, as you call it, James. Like, how can I find things that are going to be useful to the people in that one product that we sell now? And it's a really sort of freeing thing. Because when you met me, I was doing the same stuff, but it was across 52 different things. And now I get to sniff it.
You had a lot going on.
I did, yeah.
You had your own DJ track for PE teachers.
Exactly. And I was like
a t-shirt line of clothes.
Finding all these tech tools that, you know, to solve all these different things. But really, when I had one product, I could hone in on the tech that really sort of helped me with that, if that makes sense. And it's really helped it go to new strengths.
One of the things I've been known for over the years is this concept of own the race course. We've been talking about it for about a decade, and I've updated my training on it several years apart. The most recent one was 2017. I think I did a big update. But what my message was is you need to have a little bit of control over your own customers and where you're serving your information, and don't build on someone else's platform and then get upset if they take it away from you. But you know what's fascinating is what has happened to Facebook since you and I met 3 years ago. Back then, it was like the darling of groups and pages, and you could get your content found and it was easy and fun. These days, though, there's been the Cambridge Analytica scandal. There's been a lot more research released on the dangers of social media in terms of how it's affecting people's emotions, and people are getting depressed and all this sort of stuff, and actually sort of walking down the street glued to a phone. So a couple of things here. If people are going to use phones, and they do increasingly, it is nice to have control over that. And the easiest way to do that is to have your own app for your business, which is the portal through which people are able to interact with your product, and avoiding the need for them to be on a desktop or to have to use a browser, right, Jared?
Yeah, well, if you think about our own experiences, it's something like 95% of the things we do on our own devices happen to be inside of apps. Just to probably use someone else's apps and a social media app that we spend most of our attention in. And, you know, it's just this space that we are spending more and more time in, which has its detriments. But from a business communication perspective and having your customers in these really easy experiences, there's a lot to be said about that app space. And, you know, many years ago, when I say many years ago, James, it's more like 4 years ago, the idea of building an app was probably, you know, drop 50K. But these days you don't have to do that because the tech has progressed to a point. And I imagine that's very similar to when you first started building this website. Like, it would have been really chaotic and technical, and it just got easier and easier. Would that be true?
When I started 13 years ago, trying to build a website took me 6 to 9 months.
Yeah.
It was a struggle.
Yeah.
Like, I tried Dreamweaver.
Wow.
And Frontpage. And I had a free site on an easy to build website builder that wasn't that easy, but it had no SEO value. Mm-hmm. Finally, I discovered this software called Excite Pro, mm-hmm. and I could now build a website. And it was fine as long as you had a Windows computer mm-hmm. and you wanted to build a website yourself. And I got good at it, and I started promoting it, and I made a lot of affiliate sales. But if you were to look at Excite Pro now, 13 years later, Gonski, it's finished. It's over and out. And, you know, WordPress came around and just demolished it. If you go back and look at the first few apps that I did, I think most of them are out of date now. There's one on leverage and one on wealthification. And then the next round of apps was Superfast Business and Silver Circle. Now, that's interesting because they're fairly new. And I recognized if someone is going to be on the phone, and they are, and if I want them to be using my app, then I need to have a really good app. I can put my logo and icon right on their homepage, home screen page, which they're picking up and putting down hundreds of times a day.
Yeah, we see the data.
And they can access my content. Oh, it's big. It's big data. But I'm on now the second version of the Silver Circle app, and we're going for the third version of the Superfast Business app. So it's not enough to just get an app. An app is a fluid or dynamic situation where the technology is going to change. But you still want to have that nice usable feature on the homepage of that iPhone, but probably it's going to be rewritten or re-uploaded from time to time. And I'm very thankful to you, Jared, because you've just done these seamless transitions each time. The very first app was quite complex. Remember, I had to log in here and there and do this and that. And eventually we found a way that you didn't have to do that. And of course, I'm talking about a service at theappmatch.com, which is Jared's business, where he does all of this for you. I don't think an app is something you should be doing yourself. That's my point here. You need it to be done for you because it is going to need to change, and there will be updates, and there will be things that come down the pipeline, and you want to keep it with current technology. In the same way, you might lease a car and get a new one every 2 years so that you get the extra airbags and the new braking system, and the car can now park itself and it uses less fuel or no fuel, maybe electricity. Just stay up to date and make it a good experience for your user, because there's nothing worse than finding some clanky old website that's not working on a mobile, that is it's got a flash loading for the first 5-10 seconds before you get the content, and nothing on it's easy to navigate. You know, they're out of date and they're finished, and Google's right onto that.
Like, just recently I got a course, and it's one of the first courses I've ever purchased, and the only way that you could really access that course was by going through a desktop, and I had to try and remember a login that was issued to me, and I couldn't find a way to change it, whatever, and it just made the whole experience of completing this course from a, you know, a famous marketer difficult. It wasn't easy. And therefore, if they're trying to help me get to that result, whatever it was, you know, putting barriers in front of me. So I could only imagine how much easier they could do and deliver on their result if they made that experience easier. And an app does that. It can make things like your Silver Circle app so that people don't ever have to log in again.
That Silver Circle app, it's like a Ferrari. It's so fast and so easy to use.
And you don't have to log in.
So simple.
So, you know, it makes the experience better.
Don't have to log in. Here's the test. I use it myself. Mm-hmm. That's the test. If I use it, because I'm not interested in fandangled extra fancy stuff. I'm not trying to overcomplicate it. But I click on that app, I can navigate my own discussions easily and find what I want. And it loads so quickly, and I can paste an answer and just tick it, and it's done. And the members love it too. And it's the same username and password as their desktop version, which is essential. But we've tried that before. It was very difficult for the user. So we've got it seamless. And I think we're, at the time of recording at least, we're having a look at making that app work for Superfast Business as well. But I'm a convert because when I saw the stats, the people accessing my community from a mobile is through the roof. The pre and post stats for the mobile app were ridiculous. Like, I can't remember exactly, you probably do because I think it's on your homepage somewhere, theappmatch.com. But I think I got 40% more sessions logging in, and people log in more often. They stay longer. My retention has improved. It's paid for itself many, many times over.
Yeah, and this is what we find over and over. So, you know, fortunately, we've been able to do this same process for lots of people in exciting spaces, in the membership spaces, in selling content, in selling their information to people. And we've seen it. We've seen people who have been able to make their experience simpler. That's it. Like, they make their experience simpler. People can get access to that content easier through the fact that there's now an app icon staring at them, reminding them of the value that they could get. And now they're more likely to be involved in that thing. It doesn't mean that they are, but it just makes that whole experience just that little bit easier for people to navigate.
Yeah, one of the things is the fact that it's there and that they're using the app instead of a browser, and it's so fast. What sort of businesses get the best results from it? You've mentioned a couple there. Obviously, people with a membership or some kind of course are going to be better off for having an app. People with recipes, or what about training? What kind of use cases are you seeing for apps?
Yeah, we've done stuff in the space of people with memberships. That's the, you know, the real obvious one. We've done things with people who have courses. We have helped exercise, like personal trainer type people, put their programs into that scenario and help people be able to go through it and complete, you know, whatever the program is they've been specified. And then we've taken people who have got recipes and content like that, so sellable, you know, some bite-sized content, you might call it, and package that into an app that they can sell on the App Store. So rather than selling outside of it with a membership, they're selling on the App Store, and then, you know, Apple are taking that 30%, and, you know, you then get to make those little micro transactions, as you might like to call them. And some of those people are doing huge numbers just by selling the $2, $3 apps to their audiences, you know, becoming discovered by more people. So it really is quite wide. You know, the only thing I would probably suggest is don't go into the video game creation space. I spoke about that at your event, James, in my bug drop story, creating that.
Yeah, it was classic. I love
it's
that.
It's just, you know, I had no audience in that particular domain. And that's the real lesson. You know, if you've got this content knowledge, and you think you might be able to package it up into like an ebook, which is typically what people go and do. One scenario is that maybe you could take that same exact content and put it in a way that made it even easier for people to access than a PDF, and sell it as like a micro transaction and a lead generation source for what might be your flagship product. And that's something that we do with one of our own apps called PE Games. Do you remember being at school, James, and doing phys ed lessons and playing all sorts of different games and activities? I'm just, you know, off the cuff here, but do you remember?
I remember like Captain Ball, yeah, stuff like climbing ropes and that sort of thing.
So many different games. And we used to have this as a PDF. So we would give 200 games in a PDF and people could download that. And what do you think typically happens when people get a PDF on their computer?
It stays there and never gets opened.
Exactly. But we took that same content and turned it into this very simple mobile app that was navigatable. People could save games. They could come back to them and get reminded of them. And it's just made it easier. Same content, just easier. And that now becomes, you know, this really well sought after content piece. We sell it for about $2.99. But the real secret is that we have our application forms for our membership inside that app. And we also pixel everyone who uses it. And then they're in a custom audience on Facebook so that we can market to them. And we get their email address when they register for the app. So that's what I mean by using like these little micro content pieces, almost like a lead magnet, but it's just in app form. And that's been really successful for us and other people that we've done it with.
Right. So I think the genesis of the app match was, if you've got a business already, you'll find the app that best matches them. And there are already app templates or pre-done apps that you can just plug into, rather than have to pay someone $50,000 to code one from scratch, which would be probably about the worst thing you could possibly do ever.
We still get people asking us, you know, they want to go down this really convoluted path for their first app. And I say that you could do that and you could spend $50K, or you could do this way more affordably, way more lean, get a really good result for your customers. And if it turns out that that's something you needed to do, you could scale up. like we did in our own app business. But most of the time, James, simple is best. And I think you'd agree with that too.
Well, someone said exactly the same thing on the previous podcast episode. I do like the simple approach. And while we're on that topic, that kind of describes the evolution of the mobile apps. From my own app, I remember the first one we had was quite simple. It just floated my website inside the app. So it was literally making the app was a browser for my website, and everything that happened on the website would happen in the app because it was just relaying the exact same site. That was version one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Very simple. Just the illusion of an app, really.
And then what about, we moved to more of a hybrid approach where there was some aspects were native and others were web-based.
That would explain the current, at the time of recording, Superfast Business app. There's the membership, which is still floating the browser, but then there's other stuff that we do that's native. And then, at the current moment, we are working on the native Superfast Business. And that really illustrates how tech changes. And how things that were way more expensive, you know, only a couple of years ago have become more affordable. And, you know, you're sitting there now and you absolutely probably could have an app for your business and it wouldn't have to cost the 50K, 100K like it used to.
Yeah, that's amazing. So the native integration is where the app's doing some pretty clever things. And luckily the technology's there where you can just plug into a platform that's already around and roll it out. You've had some success with this for quite a few users in different types of membership platforms, and you've got one that works for my membership platform now too.
Yeah.
So in summary, we've covered a few topics here in bullet points. Jared is the guy I look to for the technology. Jared's been helping my businesses with the apps themselves to make sure they're usable. And my ones are free to get from iTunes, from Apple and from Google, which is an interesting. I want to ask you, Jared, whether it's important to be in both of those marketplaces.
Yeah, it certainly is. You know, you have to have, if you're building an app, you're going to have segments of your audience in one of those camps. And they'll most certainly ask the question, like they did to you, James, when we first put your Superfast Business app out, where's Android? And of course, it came a few weeks after that. But you have to be in both spaces.
Yeah, good to know. And then we've talked about how the technology's changed a bit, what sort of apps are working well, who can get the value from them, and of course, why it's pretty important actually to get help with it. So anyway, if you've enjoyed this discussion, we'd certainly be interested in some comments and questions to guide us on the future Tech Talk series episodes. Jared, really appreciate you coming in, bringing us up to speed, and for all your continued help and development for creating an amazing app that has helped my business. Because if you looked at my membership 9 years ago to now, some things are the same, like similar amount of members, similar amount of topics, etc., but different topics, different members, different technology running it, different website platform, different email lists, different hosting. It's all changed, but some things are the same and some things are very different. You've got to keep innovating.
Would you say that it's moved to be more simple in all that as well, like the tech has made it become easier?
It has become simpler, and I've certainly been able to leverage both of my communities to become much more profitable because I've got simple solutions. I mean, just sticking them on Amazon for a start is great for my websites. I don't think Amazon's going anywhere in a hurry. And it's just given a fast, good experience, and it's easy. And then the way that the technology is allowing people to access it means they're getting better results. I couldn't offer personal private coaching without being able to use an app for myself to navigate my own forum and deliver these coaching messages in an efficient, effective way. So that's what's made it better, because you know the irony is the biggest user of my two communities is me. I've done the most posts by not even a close margin. I'm using my forum every day, and the app is such an important way to access it. So I'm really excited about the native integration, and we'll speak to you in a future episode, Jared.
Absolutely. And I mean, I'm happy to, if anyone has any questions and wants to actually challenge the app match concept, and you think that you've got a business that does not have an app in its potential arsenal of products or lead generation sources, send me the challenge and, you know, I'll tell you and massage your way into how an app could absolutely realistically work for you. And you might be really surprised what it would be. And we've seen some tremendous examples of people, you know, selling like clotheslines. You know, what could they potentially use an app for? But there's obviously lots of scenarios where they could sell an app and use it as a lead source. So yeah, it's a hugely profitable potential avenue for leads and for your business. And yeah, challenge me. Send me the strangest business proposal and I'll see if I can turn that into an option.
There you go. Where do they contact you, Jared?
At theappmatch.com.
Perfect. Thanks, mate. I'll speak to you soon.
Clear. Discover how
how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.